spirit will, O Lord.
Jesus said, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom his master has sent over his household, to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is Saint Timothy, pastor and confessor. It's always kind of odd as a pastor to stand up before a congregation and preach about pastors. Seems kind of self-serving a little bit. But nonetheless, it's on our calendar, and nonetheless, it is good that we take a look at somebody like Timothy and be reminded of what it is that God does through pastors for the church. I can remember back in 1998 at Ball State University, where I had gotten my undergraduate degree, that I had finally made the decision to become a pastor. I went over with my application to the seminary to the local Lutheran church I had been attending, and I rushed into the door all happy to tell my campus pastor that I wanted to become a pastor. Forget teaching. I want to go do this. And he sat me down in his office, and I was very excited, thrilled with the possibilities and the potential. And he looked at me and said, "Be careful what you ask for. You don't know what you are getting into." Talk about taking out all of the air in the balloon that I had. Talk about taking all of my energy and my excitement, the wind completely out of my sail. And he said it to me over and over again, "You do not know what you are asking for. Be careful what you ask for. You do not know what you are getting into." And now, some 14 years almost, 14 years will be this summer for my ordination anniversary, I can honestly say he was right in many ways. I did not know what I was getting into. I still don't know what I'm getting into half the time as a pastor. When you think about a pastor, when you think about all the qualities and characteristics that you want in a pastor, what do you think of? What do you want to see out of somebody like me or somebody else? We know from Scripture that a pastor must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. Others might think that the pastor should be approachable. He should have a good sense of humor, a good bedside manner, a great public speaker, a revitalizer of the congregation, good with youth, good with all contemporary type of issues, and so forth. So what are you looking for from the pastor? Don't answer that question quite yet. What about a fighter? What about a fighter? Not many people think of pastors as fighters. If you asked me to put on boxing gloves, I would lose. I'm not very good at mixed martial arts. Pastors don't seem to make good fighters. However, from our intro at Psalm this morning and from 1 Timothy, we heard Paul tell Timothy, fight the good fight. The fight that a pastor and that you Christians engage in day in and day out is not necessarily a physical fight. Paul says also from Ephesians, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We fight in congregations. You have fought as a congregation in the past. My congregation back in Charlotte fought. My home congregation has fought. And at times, when people gather together and when they disagree over things or directions with the church, we often look at each other and see each other as the problem. But that is not the case. That is not what Paul says whatsoever. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against the greater cosmic powers of evil in the world. The spiritual forces, the devil himself, things that you and I cannot handle on our own. Things that you and I are facing each and every day in this world full of tears, of sorrow, and death. And we gather together here out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ this Epiphany season. And we continue to fight the good fight against our greatest enemies of sin, death, and the devil. When there's personality conflicts, we should repent. When there is mistrust and there's confusion over each other in the congregation, we should repent. When the pastor has misled you or led you astray, I should repent. We should all be a people of repentance in dealing with each other, but we should always realize that we are continuing to fight the good fight of the faith. And the pastor should be a pastor who fights for his people, who fights against sin, against false belief, against pride and despair, against all the attacks and assaults of the evil one. You may sit here and say, yeah, this is it, Pastor. This is who we're looking for. Right on. You go fight for us, Pastor. But be careful. Because sometimes when a pastor or others fight the good fight, it may seem like he is fighting against you. And make no mistake when this happens. It is not the pastor feeling as if he is better or holier. Sure, pastors, I can tell you fully, are full of pride and jealousy, of despair, and constantly we are tempted by the devil. I know all that all too well. However, the pastor, the shepherd, should fight for his people nonetheless. He fights in order to feed and protect the sheep and keep them with Christ. He fights using the food of God's word, both law and gospel, at the proper times. The pastor is the one who fights with the sword of the Spirit, rightly dividing God's word, proclaiming the word which is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not easy. You know this battle and this fight all too well, as do I, every day, fighting the temptations that Satan hurls at you, fighting his lying voice that tells you you're not worthy to be alive, let alone a Christian, with the things that you've done. We fight pride and despair. We fight against our thoughts, against each other. You know how hard it is, which is why it's not good that we are alone in this Christian faith, but that we gather together as a community, not as individual believers, not following some personality, but gathered around the great and abundant gifts of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is fighting for you. It was hard for Timothy. Make no mistake about it. He was young, and everybody thought he was too young to be a pastor. Paul placed him as pastor over the church in Ephesus. In Ephesus, they worshiped the goddess Diana. The cult of Diana was too deeply engrossed in all of society that it seemed impossible to be a Christian. The cult of Diana influenced everything from their commerce and business to their government and social life. And so to make the good confession, to go out and be the pastor of the church, to go out and point to the people of Ephesus or even Grass Valley And to say that Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life was not an easy thing for Timothy. It's not an easy thing for us today. The good confession was not a harmless thing for Timothy. It wasn't an optional teaching that he had, but one that affected and threatened every life in the Ephesian church. And in the end, the good confession that Timothy preached and proclaimed got him killed. In the meantime, I'm sure he got frustrated and fearful and wondered if he was doing any good at all. Just like pastors do today, just like congregations do today. And so Paul writes him this letter of encouragement to remind him and strengthen him to go back to the waters of baptism, to there find encouragement in the promises that our Lord Jesus Christ makes in baptism. We began this service today with the holy name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the name by which you all have been baptized into. It is the name which calls us a community, a family of God here and now. Despite all of our differences, despite all of our complaints and frustrations in the world, in the church, in our community, our Lord wants us to go back to the font and to drown our old sinful nature and to encourage us that He worked through a pastor before to baptize you. He will work through me and through others today as well. Paul reminds Timothy to go back to the preached word that fought the same fight, to remind him that the fight is not actually Timothy's or mine or anybody else's, but it is Christ. Christ who fights. And what a good thing to remember for us. Not only for you, but for me as well. Because no pastor, whether his name is Paul or Timothy or Peter or Kent, has the strength, the endurance, the wisdom, or the ability to fight this good fight of faith on their own. The devil is simply too much for me and for the rest of us. But he is not too much for Christ. And so Paul reminds Timothy of this, that when Jesus made the good confession of the faith on our account, when he stood before Pilate and said that his kingdom was not of this world, when he went to the cross and cried out on your behalf, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do," it is finished. Paul reminds us, I remind you today, I remind myself that Jesus is the one who fights and who is victorious. He confessed your name before the Father in heaven. His love and the power of God has been raining down on this place for over 50 years, if not more. All for sinful people like you and for me. All for people in the future that our Lord will bring into this place. He has fought against the old evil foe, and he won. He died, and he rose. We don't think about death as being a victory, but when death devoured Jesus, it was finished. Game, set, and match. The victory won. And all of it was capped off when he stepped out of that tomb on Easter morning. The power of sin, the power of death, all of the cosmic powers, the spiritual forces of the devil have been broken for you, for this place, by the life of Christ. The life he now continues to give to you and to me. All so that you and I may remain strong. Strong because Christ fights for you through His Word and His Spirit. Strong because Christ daily takes us back to our baptism. Strong because He invites you this day to this holy altar to feed you with real food, with real flesh and blood food, to forgive you, to restore you, and to strengthen you in this faith. The world may look at these things and say, this is weak, this is foolish, it's nonsense. But by faith we receive them and know that this is our Lord who fights for us. And so with these things, with Christ and His gifts, we will move forward and we will fight the good fight with me and with you, to fight the good fight of faith, to boldly confess that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. We have to. We must. And we must hearken back to how the church all began, how our Lord established the church. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, and to the breaking of the bread. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. He has done it here. He will continue to do it here. With me or with somebody else, it doesn't matter. As long as it is Christ who is fighting for us, Christ who is speaking through us, Christ who is speaking to us, and Christ who is feeding us, everything will be fine. Everything will be good, because our fight has been won. The victory is ours. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.